기념해 Lord of God to worship alone Lord I've come to worship you Lord I've come to give you Lord I've come to worship alone Father lift your hands and your voices appreciate the King of Kings the I am that I am the God who was and is to come thank him for the privilege of knowing him the privilege of relationship we have come before you tonight speak to us do something powerful in our lives let not one person live here the same way that they have come be thou glorified in Jesus precious name give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat Blessed be your name, Lord. Honor to your name, Adonai. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. Thank you for how you have helped us so far. We are grateful. In Jesus' name. From who you used to be to who you are meant to be, the David experience. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 34. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. The story of David is very familiar to every one of us in Scripture. But I'm going to bring out a few things about David. The summary of David's life is success against all odds. That is, if I said to you, this is the life and the story of a man who succeeded against all odds, all. Who became whom God wanted him to become against all odds. Very soon we shall see the odds. But who was David? Number one, David was a passionate lover of God. The man after God's heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 14. After Saul failed God, God said, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 22, when this was recounted, they said, And when he had removed him, Paul speaking, I believe, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. The passionate lover of God, the man after God's heart. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2, he told us how he longed to see God. Early will I seek you, my soul thirsted for you, my flesh longed for you, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you. Psalm 27 and in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was a passionate lover of God. Number two, David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet psalmist of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and in verse 1 to 2, the Bible speaking said, now this be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet psalmist of Israel. In Psalm 119 and in verse 164, David gives us his praise schedule. He says, seven times a day do I sing praise and sing psalms unto God because of thy righteous judgment. Who was David? Number three, David was the addict of the house of God. The addict of the house of God. Psalm 1:1-2, verse 1 to 2. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 84 verse 7. He said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before the Lord. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before the Lord. And then in verse 10, he said that he would rather be a doorkeeper. I say, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The business, the money pursuit, and the appointment that can take me out of church does not exist. Not now. Right from the campus days, we went into the service before others came, cleaned out the chairs before others came. One day a man told me, he said to me, I have something for you. I want you to see something. What is it? It's a 7-bedroom duplex with, I think, double or so parlors, and then with basement floor. I said, what is it for? He said, come and take a look at it first. And when you have looked at it and you like it, then I will tell you what it is for. And then it was exactly at Tuesday healing and deliverance time in area 1. I told him, I said, it is healing and deliverance time. I have to be in church now. I can't be there now. Can we reschedule? He said, no, I'm not sure. He said, it has to be done now. And then we are living in a rented house. You don't have a house of your own. After about 13 years and 6 months of ministry, and this person is telling you, I have a 7-bedroom duplex for you to see. When you like it, I'll tell you what to do. And I said, sir, it is service time. I can't go. And he said, why don't we? I said, can we go after the service? He said, no, it has to be now. He has something or something. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't come now. Wow. Wow. I'm so sorry. I can't come now. I was renting a house. I'm so sorry, I can't come now. I think he got angry. He never returned. But no qualms. I made the choice and I made the right choice. And that choice has not failed me yet. And will never fail me. I can't share house now as a testimony that I got the house, irrespective of whether they build the house with a glass. You know, until you settle your priority, you don't take your authority. The matter of what are your life's priorities? It must be settled before you assume your place of authority. They came to me one day, they said, a very high-ranking officer of a particular that I don't know how I can even give this detail without saying so much, of a particular country, very high ranking. If you count five countries in the world, it is one of them. High ranking says, he wants to see me. I should come and meet him. He wants us to talk. I say, oh, wow. He has to come first. Kings go to priests. So they told the man. He said, is that right? I will go. So he came, and in all humility, I said, I'm happy to welcome you. And they said, you wanted us to see, so I wanted you to come first. And then we finished talking, and he said, all right. Can you honor us and come and pray on us? I said, why not? It will be done. Oh, you had to come first. Are you hearing what I am saying here today? What are your priorities? What are your priorities? What are your priorities? I was glad when they said, in the name that is above every name, if there is a David here that is about to be raised of God, you will shout the loudest, Amen. David was the addict of the house of God. I hope that we can have the time to talk about this particularly in this conference. But David, number three, was the kingdom prayer champion. Prayer champion. In Psalm 55 verse 17. Psalm 55 verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. In Psalm 54, verse 1 and 2, David speaking, says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Hear my prayer. That was a prayer champion. Psalm 3 and in verse 4. Psalm 3 and in verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. David was actually prayer personified. As a matter of fact, he was a specialist in judgmental prayer. And that was very, very in order because of the kind of things he faced. If you are really, really going to go the way of judgmental prayers, if you have not really taken a psalm from David, maybe that prayer is not fully complete yet. He said, let their ways be dark and slippery. He said, let the angel of death persecute them. He said, let their children be vagabonds. He said, let their fatherless children beg. We'll leave that for another day. I hear what I'm saying here. David was the kingdom prayer champion, especially judgmental prayer. Number five, David was the fearless, lion-killing, giant-leveling fighter. Fearless, lion-killing, giant-leveling fighter. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, all the way to verse 37, we had the story of how David said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. He said, and I went after him. Not that I came back home to testify of how I escaped a lion. I went after him, smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. There are people who fear lions, and there are people lions fear. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? David was one such man. He dealt with lions so much that when he saw Goliath, he said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In verse 44, all the way to verse 47. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That is him and God. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David was in a hurry. I'm in a hurry to kill you. He hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. The rest, they say, is history. That was the kind of man David was. The fearless, lion-killing, giant-leveling fighter. Who was David? David was the heralded instrumentalist of Israel. Excellent heralded instrumentalist of Israel. That is, if you are looking for instrumentalists that are in the class of the A, he was there. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in verse 17 to 18, the Bible speaking, Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord was with him. I like you to understand that all these things I am saying about David were not things that he was after he became king. These were things he was in the desert. We are talking about who David was before he became anything. We are talking about the rehearsal life of David, not the reality yet. Am I communicating? So that someone said, oh, David was the king of Israel. No. This was who David was. And then this final one excites me. David was the highly skilled leader / human potentials developer. Highly skilled leader as well as human potentials developer. Give a non-entity to David, it turns him into a celebrity. Give him trash, he will bring out the treasure. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was distressed, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain, a leader over leaderless people, rudderless people. Gathered the area boys in Lagos, that's what we're talking about. Scattered, battered, shattered, buffeted, beaten, broken. You understand the kind of people we are talking about? People with no education, half education, miseducation. Harassed, embarrassed. People that the world wrote off. People that were generational liabilities. Family gave up on them. You know what David did with them? Second Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, all the way to verse 9. And Saul called all the men of war. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11 to 13. All right, okay, let's stop there. These be the names, 23:8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. People that were in debt, that were battered, scattered, shattered in the hands of David became mighty men. Let's go. The Tatmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800. He slew them at once. That is one blow, 800 die. Ha ha! Mende. He slew them at once. That is, he killed 800 people like you kill a person. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel ran away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his sword and his hand became one. His hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. After he finished the battle, the people came after him to carry what was in the battle. Go ahead. I'm not true. After he was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together unto a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. That is, others ran, he stood. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines. That is, they wasted people on their way. Went and fetched water from the well. Carried it on their way back. Wasted more people. Embrace or got drink water. You say you wanted water from that particular well. We just brought you water. David said, this is not water now. This is blood. You wasted people to bring me this drink. I offer it to God as a sacrifice. At the risk of your life. At the risk of your life. That is, it's as if you are giving me your own blood to drink. I can't drink it. These were riffraffs. David took chickens and lionized them. Ay, 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 ay. There are people here tonight that are about to be lionized by God. You ain't saying nothing. God is about to lionize you tonight. There are people that will be living here with spiritual bazookas and AK-47, general purpose machine guns, anti-aircraft rifles, Scud missiles, Petra missiles, all manner of Tomahawk missiles. Is God speaking to somebody here? Shout power! Something is entering your hand. May God open your eyes in the spirit. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And he said, be it far from me. Now move on. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. And he had the name among the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, this one was a very dangerous man. The son of a valiant man of Kabzin, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men. The people were men that were like lions. Lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. A lion killer trained him. A lion killer trained him. So killing a lion is no testimony. He did it in time of snow. His feet was moving. The lion was moving. Before you know it, wow! Lion was gone. Somebody is catching fire here tonight. Somebody is catching fire here tonight. Every grace and every mantle that is upon this house, on this altar, that you need to raise you, that you need to train you, that you need to impart your word, is coming your way right now. Apostles raise apostles, prophets raise prophets, teachers raise teachers, psalmists raise psalmists, lion killers raise lion killers, giant killers raise giant killers. Beware who is raising you, because you may become like him. Hey! Where about 30 something years ago, this passage is my favorite passage. Anytime I want to charge and ruggedize my heart and lionize myself, I'll go there. I say, this is what human beings did. Take your seat. Next verse. He plenty you. Give me the next verse. Whether the screen likes it or not, the next verse must come out. David was the highly skilled leader, stroke, human potentials developer. Back up one verse. He's showing us a dangerous man. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, now the son of the valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit. Inside the pit. That's only him and the lion were in the pit. He couldn't run. Either you kill me or I kill you. Hey! Look at the next verse. He did one. He slew an Egyptian, a heavy man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to that Egyptian with a stick. His master used catapult. He went to the Egyptian with a stick, plucked the spear out of the hand of the Egyptian, and used it to kill him. Oh, that was what his master did. His master collected the sword of Goliath and used it to cut off the head of Goliath. He learned well. He was well trained. This heavy man was coming with a sword. This guy was going with a stick. After the encounter, the man lost his word and lost his life. Beloved brothers and sisters, I don't know why I'm dwelling in this area because there's so much message tonight. But I am here to announce to you, something is about to drop on you that will ruggedize and lionize and fireize your life until you begin to waste the forces of darkness. In Jesus' name, give me two more verses of those dangerous guys. Three more verses of those dangerous guys. Go back to that passage. You are in verse 21 now. Hallelujah. These were the exploits of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, who had a reputation among the three warriors. He was the most honored. You have now gone from King James Version. But he did not become one of the three David put him. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah, the Harodite. Elika, the Harodite. And so on and so forth. This was the kind of person that David was. Now, David was not king when he raised these people yet. This was who he was. He hadn't become who God wanted him to become. But let's go quickly. What was the battles? What were the battles of David? What were the odds against David? What odds were against David? Number one, family rejection. How can you be so talented? How can you be so anointed? How can you be so gifted? And yet your family rejects you. Your father couldn't see anything good in you. Your mother couldn't see anything good in you. And your brothers couldn't see anything good in you. To the point where it was time to anoint a king, nobody could call him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1 to 2. And I'm talking to somebody here tonight. And in Psalm 27 and in verse 10. Where he said, when my father and my mother reject me, forsake me, which means his father forsook him, his mother forsook him, he said, the Lord will take me up. How can you be so gifted? How can you be so anointed? How can you be so engraced? And yet people of your own family or household don't believe in you. But I am here to tell you, it doesn't matter who does not believe in you. The most important person that must believe in you is your God, is your maker, is your creator, and yourself. Believe in yourself. Despite everything, David was. And I am telling you what I have experienced myself. My siblings experienced some major of massive where people concluded on you before you had the opportunity to prove anything or the opportunity to be anything. They just see you growing and they say, look at this one, your type, what can you become? Our mother was such a godly woman, raised godly children. Oh, shakabada, yada, yada, yada. No. You are listening to woman. No, don't. Godly woman. Who woke you up by 5 a.m. in the morning? Who taught you not to touch corruption from age 6, age 7? Who told you to look away from anything you see of anybody because God wants to make you somebody? Say, don't listen to such a woman, for where? If listening to such a woman can turn a person to become like this, I want to listen again and again and again. But it doesn't matter who does not believe in you. If God believes in you, and you believe in the purpose of God for your life, to hell with the devil. I say to hell with the devil, to hell with human opinion, to hell with witches and lizards and bitches and wizards. What was David's issue? Family rejection. Number two, undiscovered, undercover, and covered potentials. Undiscovered, undercover, covered potential. Potential that wasn't discovered. Potential that was undercover. Potential that was covered. Hallelujah. I remember a time in my life, I carried so much fire. Those days, before I became a pastor, up till now my fire is intense. In fact, it's on the increase. But for the period of from 1986 to 1996, the 10-year period, I would pray between 3 to 7 to 10 hours. That is minimum is like around 3 hours. 7 hours, 10 hours. The 5 hours average is normal prayer life. Normal. That is, you didn't pray. That is, you prayed for 7 hours before you check the time. How long have I prayed? Okay, let me take another 3 hours. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had so much fire, and I was wishing for how the fire would be expressed. So I went to one night vigil one night, and I couldn't boast to be a singer. As at that time, at least I wasn't. I mean, my voice was still coming up, and I came to the night vigil. I said, I wrote my name for special number. Just where the fire could be expressed, small. They didn't give me time. Why? Because the potential was undercover. And you are too insignificant to be believed in. Meanwhile, the night vigil finished around 2 or 3 a.m. for lack of agenda. For lack of agenda. Nothing to prove. If you carry fire and there is no possibility of expression, calm down. Calm down. When God gives you, when He places you on bicycle, He will cause you to overtake aeroplane. Just calm down. The same place where they said, I cannot give special number. I have been invited to preach. And I didn't have time to go. It was now my turn not to have time to go. It was not deliberate. I didn't plan it. The invitation clashed with our program. And I didn't have time to go. The same place. Undiscovered, undercover. Grace, gift, potential. There are people who want you to feel that you are nothing. They want to show to your face that you are nothing, that you will amount to nothing. If people will determine another person's destiny, we will not be here. I know. If human beings are the key factors in deciding what a person belongs, who am I? Who does monkey banana? Everything was already concluded before you grew up. That you are nothing. But today, everyone whose potential has been covered, tonight the cover is being taken off now. Say that amen like you are a believer. The cover is being taken off now. That was 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. When they were looking for an instrumentalist and they came and found him. Please take your seat where you are. Number 3 challenge of David was background existence. Family rejection. Undiscovered potential. Background existence. There is one in the bush. 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 12. There is one there in the bush. Are all these your sons? No. One is in the background. Let him just remain there in the bush. Do you know what? The devil doesn't care what you can do for as long as nobody is aware. He doesn't care what potential you carry for as long as it's not visible and available. Background existence. Number 4. Continual exposure to hazards and danger. To danger and hazards. This small boy was facing lions permanently, facing bears permanently. It's like coming face to face with death frequently. Maybe you are like that. When you have a great future and you have a great destiny, death would like to attempt you. One day I counted the number of times the devil wanted to come across me by death. I think I counted almost 20 times. From childhood, to facing government face to face. That one happened at least twice. All manner. When the enemy knows that you have a future and you have a destiny, he will try to encounter you with hazards. That was David. But everyone here tonight that is a victim, everyone here tonight that is a victim of continuous danger and hazard, the spirit of death trying to tamper with you to see if they can attack you before you reach your destination, today it is arrested forever. What was the challenge of David number 5? Murderous envy and jealousy from his master. It's one thing to be envied. It's another thing for the envy to graduate to murder. Murderous envy and jealousy from his master. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 10 to 11. Saul hated David until he wanted to pin him to the wall with his javelin. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of his house. And David played with his hand, and he was with a javelin, and there was a javelin in his hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Do you understand when you are serving a man to deliver him, and he wants you dead? So if you are a victim of envy, you are not alone. If there are people who want you dead, it is not news. It has happened before. But those who want good people dead never succeed. Haman did not succeed in Mordecai's case. Joseph's brothers wanted him dead. They didn't succeed. And this was David's workplace. You may experience that in the work environment. This is unfortunate. But there are pastors who want others dead. That is co-pastors. They consider you a competitor. And for as long as you are there, you are spoiling their market. Because it is a market to them. They forgot that the forest is too big for two elephants to jam. They forgot that the sky is too wide for two birds to clash. They forgot that no star is shining at the expense of another star. Murderous envy, murderous dimension of jealousy. There are some people, they look in their eyes, can tell you what is in their heart. I announce to you today, every death looking for you from anybody, if they will not repent, that death returns back to sender. If they will not repent, that wish returns back to sender. Shout the loudest amen. Are you ready to hear number 6? Take your seat. Oil on the head without a vacant throne. What was the challenge of David number 6? Oil on the head without a vacant throne. You have been anointed king, and the king is still alive. And the king is not ready to die for the next 13 years. Hello? How do you cope with that? Unction without the platform to function. How do you cope with that? Possibility without the authority and responsibility to discharge. Some of us are like that. You have the anointing, you have the grace, you have the gifting, but it appears as if you have been detained. When the songs began to flow and the singing began to come, because I never dreamt of writing songs or anything like that, or even one album. Never. Lord, what did you do? He said to me, the grace and the gift had always been there, but I detained it. Detained for the right time. Because from age 9, myself and my brother, we presented our request for special number in Methodist Church. Age 9 and 7. Yes, another special number. I cannot, and they gave us the chance. Because the presbyter, whoever was the overseer, knew us. Knew our family. See, tomorrow, I can't tell what we sang. And how I sang it, but there's something I can tell. The singing must have been a challenge to the people. The spirit was willing. But what of the singability? So that was to show that there was always something inside there. Right? And all that. He said, I detained it for the right time. He said, because if I released it on time, you could have been distracted to another direction. Oh, I could easily have said I'm a praise worship leader, or I am a music minister full time, or I am so and so and so full time. And then the pastoral will be secondary, the apostolic will be secondary, everything else will be secondary, because this is what I perceive myself to be. So let this one hold on until you step into fullness, and then let that one join it to assist the main one. There are people here today, the anointing and the grace that God has given to you is not wasted. It's not wasted. The oil on the head of David was detained until the time appointed. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? There are people with prophetic graces that have not even manifested it. If you blind your eyes with sellotape, you will see nothing. Because God wants you to be grounded and rooted in word first. So that you don't end up as a marketing prophet, or end up as a merchandise prophet, and end up and everything is prophecy. So that even when you receive a revelation or a prophecy, you judge it by yourself with the word. Because you are too loaded to be deceived. You saw a vision on the angel saying, and when he said, you are not an angel from God. Scripture said so. And before you can finish, it disappears into oblivion. Am I correct? He said, so I don't want that gift to manifest yet until your root in the word is developed, until your grace in the word is developed, until you are solid and sound and rugged. Then when I give you the visions and the revelations and the things, you will not shut in preaching time and finish the service with prophecy. See, I don't want you to build on gift. I want you to build on word. He said, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. I don't want you to build your life and build your destiny on gifting. I want you to build your life, your ministry, and your destiny on insight. William Brown said, in those days, he will use a whole 3, 4, 5 hours to prophesy to 50 people. 50. This is you. Your address is this. Is that all 120% accurate. All. And then he did that. I wrote, read about a biography of his. He said how he wished. He had used the same measure of time to impact more people with word, with insight, with light. How he wished. He had used more time, that same time, to impact more people. So God is saying to you, somebody was healed in his crusade and came back again. Healed by prophetic manifestation and came back again. And came back again. With the same sickness. He said, you know what? Go and meet Kenneth Hagin. Sit under his ministry, let and hear the word. That is what will confirm your healing now. It's not me showing you what is wrong now. Go and sit down and hear word. He directed the man to Hagin's ministry. No, that is what cannot happen today. Go and sit down under a teacher and let him teach you and establish you in your healing. That was David, oil on the head, but no manifestation. I'm going to come to the solution very, very shortly. Finally, what were the problems of David? Betrayal. From people he had helped. Put it like betrayal. From unbelievable quarters. I'll just give you one example. David heard that the Amalekites were troubling the people of Keilah, like a suburb of Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" If this is the only one I will read, let me read it. And the Lord said unto David, "Go, smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." So David's men said unto him, "Behold, we'll be afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come to the Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him, "That is, we are afraid here, and you are telling us to go there. Saul will look for us there." He inquired, and God said, "Go to Keilah. I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." Mind you, there is a king that should rescue his people. But this is a private individual fighting the battle that a nation should be fighting. Does it remind you of some of where you, of the kind of setting where we are in? So David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Then it came to pass, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering a town that has gates and bars. That is, they will lock him in and I will catch him now." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." And then said David, "O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will these people that I came here risking my life to save, will they deliver me into Saul's hand? Will Saul come as your servant heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beg you, tell me." And the Lord says, "Saul will come." Number one. Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." You cannot believe what you are reading. You can't believe what you are reading. When it was the same God who told him, "Go and save them, rescue them, I will help you to rescue them." It is now the same God saying them, "The people I told you to rescue will betray you." And God knew they would behave like this, yet he said he should go and deliver them. Instead of saying, "Leave them to die, they are bad people." What a heart. David, can I ask you a question? How do you deal with other human beings when someone you rescue from death wants you dead? Who will you trust to do well? That is, A person that you did not help can hand you over to your enemy easily. Somebody who you brought from debt hands you over to the same debt. How do you explain? Those are the kind of controversies and contradictions of life, destiny, and ministry. Where the same human beings that are your greatest liabilities are also your greatest assets. So where do you draw the line? The last time I helped somebody, as one young man, the first time he came to my office, he was wearing slippers, scattered. A professional, if you look at him from head to toe, like they say in our place, if they offer him for sale, he won't buy. Scattered. Before you can say, praise the Lord, raised from the ground. It's now having a car. It's now having this and having this. And then began to conspire with enemies and people. Handed with position of trust. And one of the people he conspired with came and said, do you know this guy? Be careful with him. This is what he came to me to say, to do. Do you understand what I'm talking about? On your journey of destiny, you are going to find such things and such kind of people in ministry you'll find. Look at this young man, I say, look at. I went to the hospital to pray for him from out of coma. My wife and I, we went, he was lying down dead, gone. And I was saying, Lord, if this guy dies like this, you see, and somebody, people will not know anything. What will they say? What? Lord, bring him out. His own mouth, he said, he was hearing our voice from the other side. He's stupor, just gone. Then he comes back from the dead and walks right straight into enemy conspiracy. I said, did you remember I prayed for you when you were about dead? He said, yes. He remembered what he was trying to downplay. I said, you were gone. He said, You will not know distraction will stop you. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your right hand and say in the name of Jesus, whatever happens, enemy conspiracy, bitterness, jealousy, human hatred, whatever happens, betrayal from unbelievable people, whatever happens, I shall reach my destiny. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. That kind of story of people came back from the dead that become devils later. It's not one. As I'm talking, I'm remembering more. Say amen. What did David do? What do you do? If you are so anointed, so passionate for God, and yet you found yourself in this kind of things, number one, maintain passion for God. Maintain it. Maintain your passion for God. Your passion is key to the unction. I'm going to rush because of time at this point. Maintain your passion for God. That was what David did. Maintain your passion for God. Number two, maintain your commitment to the Father's assignment. Just be lost in the work. It was by attending to his Father's assignment in the bush that the assignment came for him to lead the nation. This young man is in the bush sent for him. Maintain commitment to your Father's assignment. Number three, maintain commitment to personal potentials development. Don't abandon your life. Keep on training. Keep on sharpening your skills. It will be needed one day. Before I became a pastor, I went through God's generals how many times? Until recently, I spoke with Robert Leaden. And he said he has been trying to get across to me, Pastor. And then we spoke extensively. He said, please, I want to come to Nigeria. Whatever it takes, I want to come. And he might be coming in August. Actually, you can let him know that we have a minister conference in August. The same person whose fire I read about, John Gillett, I said, we are talking on the phone. I've been hearing on what God is doing in your ministry. I've been hearing everything. I'll be glad to be available at any time. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Continue to, don't abandon your life. To abandon your potentials is to discard your destiny. They say, what is the use of getting more anointed? I don't have a pulpit to preach. The time will come for it. Just go ahead and build up the unction. Go ahead and build up the fire. When I was praying for 7 hours a day, 10 hours a day, I was not a pastor. I didn't have a pulpit. When I was praying, cancer of the breast was gone and deaf ear was hearing. I was a medical student yet. And I was not planning to be a pastor. Am I communicating at all? So continue to improve your life. Continue to develop yourself. Continue to anything that can make you to be at your cutting edge. Just be there. My Father in the Lord can at any time He wants ask you, okay, come and do this or say this or do this. I don't think I've ever had a 24-hour notice for anything. Touch them. Come up and just say this. And then you appear loaded ready. Your study of today is not for your preaching of tomorrow. There are lights you are acquiring now that will tackle night of 10 years to come. Is God speaking to anybody else? That will tackle night of 10 years to come. Singer, musician, sharpen yourself. Don't abandon your life. Sharpen yourself. Sharpen yourself. I do lectures with my daughters now and my children. Musical sharings and discussions and all that. And one of them said, I'm learning this and that and that and that from you. When they were singing with very, very powerful voice, I was still preaching with very, very strong voice. Voice that couldn't go anywhere. But I decided that whatever area of life I must have anything to do, I must do it well. I was sharing with someone the other day, and he said, you are almost a music coach now. Because of the kind of things, terminologies I was using. I said, yes, I am versed by his message. I have some understandings. I now know that I have a voice that is a chest voice, and I know that I have a voice that can be mixed, that combines chest and head, and I know that there is a head voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that whatever you do with your life, just ensure that it was by the sharpening of David's potential that he entered Saul's palace for the first time as a musician. The unction made him king, but the potential took him to the palace for the first time. I believe it was by the sharpening of his potential that he could kill Goliath, because he sharpened himself until he was such a sharp shooter. You know the men of Benjamin, sniper. Men of Benjamin, they said, They use left hand to shoot. And if you pull a hair, they will shoot the hair at a distance. That is, pull a hair string. They will shoot the hair strand with precision. That was what David developed himself into. So when he saw the hole on the head of Goliath, he said, this is too big to miss. This hole is too wide to miss. Even if it was a hair strand, I can catch it. How much more this forehead that is open? I believe it is by the development of his potentials, by the development of his potentials, by the development of his potentials. Maintain commitment to personal potential development. Number four, maintain commitment to the defense of the name of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Be passionate to defend God everywhere, and you will reach your goal. I'm rushing, please. Number five. That was 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Number five. Maintain commitment to the extra mile operation. I spoke about it in the morning. Extra mile existence. Don't do normal things. Do extra things. You see, Joseph went extra in interpreting the dream and giving Pharaoh the solution. David went extra. He was not recruited to be a fighter in the army. They looked down on him until they thought he couldn't be a fighter. A general, a people raiser, a raiser of fighters. They despised him. But he did not despise himself. And he was committed to the extra mile. Why? His father said, take food to your brothers. That was his assignment. If he had taken the food and returned back, he had finished the assignment. But he went the extra mile. He overheard a man talking. Who is this bastard or bagger, like they say in the military? Who is this bagger standing there? I better take him down. That was the extra mile. And the extra mile took him to the extra height. If you want the extra height in life, you must go the extra mile. If you do normal things, you live normal life. But if you do extra things, you go extra height. What do you do? Number seven, commitment to loving and lifting others. Loving and lifting others. Loving and lifting others. I told you already of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11 to 13, and 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 2, how David found an Egyptian and lifted him up, and so on, and then the people in debt and distress. The question I want to ask you is, somebody has helped you. Somebody is helping you. Somebody is raising you. Who are you raising? Moses had a Joshua. But Joshua had no mentee. So Joshua left a leaderless Israel after his death. Did you hear that? In those days, the Bible said there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his sight. After the death of Joshua, the Bible said the generation that followed knew not God nor his acts. Moses raised, that was Judges from chapter 1 all the way. Moses raised Joshua. Joshua left a mentorless Israel. Are you following me? Listen. Elijah raised Elisha. Elisha left Gehazi for Israel. He got a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Nobody got any portion of his anointing. But Elisha did double of Elijah. And Joshua went where Moses could not go. But when it was time to recognize fathers in the Old Testament at the mountain of transfiguration, it was not Elisha and Joshua that appeared on the mountain. It was Moses and Elijah. So far ahead of your signs and wonders in ministry is the impact of the people you raise. If you ask Bishop Pierre, who has your life impacted? You see, there are so many around the world. But I can point at you one or two of my sons around the world that carry something from unbroken followership of close to 30 years. If you ask me, I have people both here, right now, and all around the world. Who is taking steps after you that will not miss road? It's one thing for them to take the steps after you, but will they miss road? After you leave this service, identify people that you are pouring your life into. Speak, minister, teach with a discipleship mentality, not evangelistic and entertainment mentality. Show them what made you. Teach them the steps you took. Let them know what profited and benefited you. And I'm not talking to pastors. I am talking to children of God. All churches over the world will explode 1,000 times over if people are discipling people. If you will pick a person and ask them and monitor them and find out how they are doing and find out that they are doing the right thing and taking the right steps, to multiply over. That was what built David. You know what? One day, the 4 giants that were left wanted to kill David. The Bible said they thought to have slain David because he was faint. David waxed faint. 2 Samuel, I think, chapter 21. And Ish-bibenob, one of the sons of the giant. And back up a little bit. And Ish-bibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being guarded with a new sword, he thought to have slain David. That is, David would have been gone. Then one of those dangerous guys, Abishai, the son of Zerah, this woman raised 4 dangerous lion people. This is Zeruiah. He was the mother of Joab, the chief of defense staff. He was the mother of Abishai. He was the mother of Asahel. All of them were brutal soldiers in the army. Very dangerous. Now, when this guy wanted to finish David, a giant killer, wanted to be killed by a giant, one of them say, "Oh God, give me a chance. If you fight now, then why was I raised? If you keep on fighting till this age, why? What is my aim? What is the aim of my life? Give me a chance." And he laid his hands on him. Wasted that man on the spot. And he said, "Oga, please don't go to war anymore. Leave the fight for us. You have done enough. You have fought enough. And you have raised fighters. We will now be doing the fight. You should be resting." I'm talking to all of you. I'm talking to you. This guy in medical school was a Muslim. And then gave his life to Christ and began to watch me anytime I'm praying. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm watching the way you are doing it so that I can do it likewise." And then, "Are you filled with the Holy Ghost?" "Not yet." I took him to the back of Block B in Araguta Hostel, laid hands on him. He began to speak in tongues and continued for 6 hours. It has to continue with the hour of the imparter. That was the normal range of the person who laid hands on him. One hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. I'll give you a chance to give the full testimony. He's a consultant of obstetricians and gynecologist, and also a pastor. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? He was healed at Lokoja Crusade of a lipoma on his chest. Doctor was trying to go for surgery to remove the lump, and God removed the lump. That is the fire of almost 30 years. He's testifying there right now. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The question is, who are you laying hands on? Who is acquiring the fire that you acquired? Maintain your commitment. 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 To what? To lifting, loving others. Take your seat. Oh my God. Number 7. Refuse to destroy your master. I just said something. The master who wanted to destroy David said, I won't touch you. Don't kill the king so you can take the throne, even though the oil is on your head for that throne. Let God handle him. Don't struggle to fulfill your prophecy. Let the one who gave the word fulfill it. Oh, there are those. Oh, you are the next king of Israel, and the king is still on the throne. Let's go and take him out. You know, somebody did that in the Bible. The moment they anointed him, Jehu anointed him, he went and killed the king. You know, I'm not going to do that. Saul pursued David until one day Saul was sleeping, and David came and cut just the cloth. And the Bible said the heart of David smote him. What did I do like this? What did I do like this? One of David's men said, Oga, the man is sleeping. I think it was Abishai. Give me permission to smite him once. I swear I won't do it twice. I won't do it twice. I can't do like this. Bam. Bam. No. Once he's gone. He said, calm down. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. And the Lord said, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Verse 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, thou seekest thy heart. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And some of my men asked me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord. My Lord. My Lord. Who wants to kill me? You are still my Lord. Many times you want to pin me to the wall, but you are my Lord. I even see the manifestation of evil spirits in your life, but you are my Lord. Many of us change Lord so easily. You change master so easily for what is very, very flippant and tiny. Our loyalty is so scarce, it's so tiny. The half-life of it is so short. Before you know it, I find myself another church. Before you know it, I find myself another pastor. Before you know it, I find myself another spiritual father. Before you know it, I find myself another spiritual mentor. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. My Lord. You are my Lord. I know you are possessed, but you are my Lord. Because I came on assignment to deliver you from evil spirit. You were not possessed from the beginning. Something went wrong along the line. I know that you want me dead now. If you have a knife now, you can kill me. But God has not shown me another master. And who is he that can stretch his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? There are people recruit you into bitterness against your God-ordained mentor, pastor, teacher, tutor. There are people who know this church is where they belong, but they roam about for 15 years, 20 years, until finally they come back and say, oh, I knew this is my place. So you wasted 20 years of your life. What could have become of your life if you remained planted for those 15 years? What would have become of your life? We are hearing people talking about how they've been on ground for 20 years here. Some said 21 years. In one place, mine is almost 30 years now. Alright? And then you are there. You are there. You are there. My master, you are 23. My master may offend me, but I forgive him in advance. In advance. In advance. 23. 21. I release him in advance. Am I communicating at all? I weigh the positive impact of his life on my life versus anything that is negative, if there is, and the positive overweighs it. Somebody came thinking he was doing David favor. He said, I have killed your enemy. You know Saul? And he was lying. I have killed the man that wants you dead. David began to cry first. Oh my God. There are some people who say, yeah, the throne is vacant. Yeah, I can now take my portion. The man that has been blocking me from fulfilling my destiny has finally died. He began to cry first. And he cursed the mountains of Gilboa. Oh, damn mountains of Gilboa. Let there be no rain. Let there be no dew on you. For on you, the shield of the mighty was cast down. The shield of Saul, as if he has not been anointed with oil. A man with oil on his head should not die like that. When he finished crying, he said, wait a minute. What did you say now? I didn't hear you well. Say it again. You killed him. Your mouth say you are not afraid to stretch your hand against the Lord's anointed. He said, please, young man, delete him. Escort him out. He said, for his own mouth has confirmed that he deserves this death. That was how the man killed himself. Because he lied. Saul, he didn't kill Saul. Saul committed suicide. He fell on his own sword. Stand up on your feet. There is a scarcity of loyalty, a scarcity of faithfulness, a scarcity of tenacious followership. In the ministry of Billy Graham, there were people who were with him for 50, 60 years of ministry. What was the name of those two musicians there? The one that had a very heavy, deep bass. Oh, deep, deep bass. Oh, Barry Hayes. And then the other elderly man. Moses pastored Israel for 40 years. One person can pastor you for life. Yes. According to God's divine ordinance. Pastor you, pastor your children, pastor your generation. Am I communicating? Refuse to destroy your master. Masters may not be perfect like we saw in the life of Saul. Like Elijah and Elisha. But if any destruction is going to come to that master, it will not be from you. That was what David said. He said, if he may go to war and die, his time to die may come, but it will not be my hand that will bring him down. I won't be quoted as one that leveled him. I won't be in a group of people that were plotting his leveling. One man called the secretary of God's servant, our papa, and these were people also in ministry. About three of them said, tell us anything. Do you have any information about your master we can use to bring him down? Anything. Just let us know anything. Is there anything? He looked at them with fire in her eyes. He said, I am not an employee of that ministry. I am a daughter in the house. You are talking to the wrong person. You are telling me to discuss with you whatever it is you want to use to destroy my own father. You are talking to the wrong person. I am not on a job. I am a child of my father. And the guys are still around. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But they are all at ground level. Ground level. Refuse. That was what I believe God saw in the life of David. And he said, whatever you do, I pardon you. You are the man after my heart. Refuse to destroy your master. I have two more things to say. Number 8, be addicted to divine direction. And David inquired of the Lord. 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 Refuse. Refuse. Be addicted to divine direction. Be addicted to divine direction. Will they deliver me to their hand? All the while he was in the wilderness, he was in touch with God. Everyone who is deaf spiritually, tonight your ears are open. Tonight your ears are open. Finally, decide to walk while you wait. I am a worldwide evangelist. I am looking for a global stage to do evangelistic ministry. You are wasting your life. David had the oil on his head, but he didn't wait to become king before doing the work of the king. It was not his duty to take down Goliath. It was the duty of the king, but he took down Goliath. It was not his duty to rescue the people of Keilah from the hands of a nation that was fighting a suburb, but he went with his men, a man that was like a nation, and delivered the people while he waited to become officially the king. Walk while you wait. Hustle while you wait. You have a worldwide ministry, start from the street side. Preach in corners. You want to start giving, want to be giving 1 billion to church for gospel invasion. Start with 1,000. Be consistent with 10,000. Then move to 100,000. You don't wait until it comes. Don't wait for the throne. Function for the throne while the throne gets ready for you. Am I communicating? Don't wait for the throne to be vacant before you perform the duties of the king. Go ahead and perform the duties while the throne is in preparation. Stand up here, everybody. Stand up here. Everybody, stand up for yourself. I'm sorry, you may have overeaten. No, when you eat too much, you can't stand up. Be upstanding. Walk while you wait. You are believing for the healing of the blind and the deaf and the cripples. If it is only headache that is working, walk it over and over. The healing of headache, just walk it over and over. Anywhere you show up, is there anybody with headache here? Come and be healed. Walk, walk, walk while you wait for the big one. And it must come. Somebody say amen. Amen. Did you receive anything today? Anybody as blessed as I am? Can you borrow me 10 minutes of prayer? So ushers ensure there's no movement within the next 10 minutes. And lift up your hands everywhere. Only three prayers tonight. Lord, thank you for this weight of word. Thank you for this heavy dosage of word. Thank you for this weight of word. I don't believe I deserve this word, but I am grateful. Open your mouth and speak right now. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word.
Jesus, Jesus, there is something about the name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance of thorn and rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they all fade away. There is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they all fade away. About your name, kings and kingdoms,
they will all fade away. There is something about that name. Father, we give you the praise. 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 In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. The message is so vast that it's so difficult to even know what to pick out for prayer point right now. But Lord, whatever you did for David that made him to live where he was, to where he reached, Father, do it for me. Open your mouth and pray. Whatever you did for David, 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 that made him to live where he was, to where he arrived, do it for me. Do it for me. Do it for me, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Psalm 89. There is one word that described what God did for David. Psalm 89, verse 19. Then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One. David was speaking about his experience when God was speaking to him in a vision, and you said, I have laid help upon one that is a warrior, a fearless fighter. I have exalted him out of his brethren, chosen out of the people. Then I found this David, my servant, and poured oil on him. What was laid on David that made him fight 66 wars without a scratch, made him pull down every conspiracy, was called help. I have laid help. Father, lay your help on me. Not handle, help. Lay your help on me. That help you laid on David, lay your help on me. I have laid help. Hands can be laid, and help can be laid. I have laid help.
Kings and kingdoms, they will all fade away. There is something about not me.
In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands as we draw the conclusion. Time is so far gone. One of the secrets of David that I didn't mention was the secret of extensive sacrifice. Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5. He said, I will not sleep. I won't enter a house until I have built God a house. The sacrifice was continuous and endless. That will be number 10. Continuous, extensive sacrifice. Be given to continuous and extensive sacrifice. On Sunday, following divine leading, I gave opportunity for people who will be a part of the ongoing revival crusades across the nation. Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5. And many people lifted up their hands and received the form. I told you I will remind you this Wednesday, remind you again on Friday, and then do the final by Sunday. So if you have the pledges ready, you will do good to drop them while others are going. The altar is available. We already took offering today. You put it neatly in an envelope. If you don't have the form yet, you can pick up the form, feeling, I want to be a part of this revival crusades going on. This explosion. Please remain standing. I've been standing for many hours. Just join me small. Ushers have the forms. You can show the clips. The clip of that harvest in harvest season while people receive the form. Whether you are able to give hundreds of millions, tens of millions, a million. Can you? Oh, you didn't prepare for the clip. Okay. I said I was going to mention it by Wednesday, so you should have prepared for it. Ensure that it's available. Is it available immediately? All right, ensure it's available by tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, Friday morning, Friday evening. But I had mentioned that I would mention it on Wednesday. And then, of course, on Sunday. I'll be part of this revival crusade. And I'm going to give, like my wife said, there are givings we can't mention. But you know, women, they can talk what we will not talk. She just mentioned some things now that was not in my dictionary to mention at all. By the way, that cash you mentioned, the man said, take it. Just like that. Anything you have, give me. Anything. I said, anything like how? He said, anything. I said, what of 1,000? He said, bring. That was what happened. And drove off with a 5-speed vehicle. It was our own duty later on to say it cannot be like this. Let us know what is the real price of this thing. And then made that up later on. But he said, take it with 1,000 dropped. We were not pastors yet. So the harvest, the seed time and harvest had been working since. Hallelujah. So we'll give you the opportunity to get that done. You don't have the clip yet. Please sit down 1 minute. Just a minute. That was Port Harcourt Crusade. Hold on 1 minute, come up. A Courier Crusade. Local Jack Crusade. Crusade. the Lord a praise. T.L. Osborne said, success is finding out what God is doing and doing it with Him. God is doing this in this season. Let's do it with Him. You pick the form, fill it up. The form is with you to remind you of what you pledged. You make a one-time pledge, which you redeem this week, possibly, and then a continuous pledge that is according to your desire. So can we all stand up on our feet right now? Tomorrow morning, we're about to receive, that's right, we're about to receive. There may be people who have theirs here already, and if you do, you just make it available in the precious name of Jesus. The Lord bless your harvest and bless your sowing in Jesus' name. Some of our ushers will be at the altar area here, and people can come so that we don't take much time at the end of the service to. Yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, so let's be upstanding. Can we stand up on our feet? How many of us are ready to receive that help? Three things quickly. 6 a.m. service will be here. Early will I see the very powerful time of prayer. Morning session starts by 7:30 a.m. By 10:45 we are through. And then by 11:30, specialized session for business, kingdom, financial stars will be raised out of this conference. Millionaires and billionaires by 11:30 to 1 o'clock tomorrow, a special session for that. And then we are back in the evening by 5 p.m. Then Saturday morning, and then giddy, worship and wonders night. Give the Lord the praise. Lift up your two hands. How many of us believe this conference is like no other one before? Lift up your hands. As we are about to receive the help of God, those who are saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. That's the first help I want to receive. Come forward and receive your own in the front. Quickly, give you the count of 7:1. That's right. 2. Come on. Surrender to Jesus and be genuinely born again. Carry your bags and Bibles as you come. 3. 4. 5. 6. And 7. I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus.
Come with me. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I will obey. Live for Jesus. Day after day. Oh, I live for Jesus.
Day after day.
Day after day. I live. Keep coming.
Surrender to Jesus. Rededicate yourself.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, you will go. We will be praying with you shortly, and those who are here for the first time also join. Now, can you lift up your hand, everyone? Ready to receive His help. Say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father. Louder. Say, Father. That same help you laid on David, I receive it now. Father, lay your help on my life. Today, lift the hands higher. If this will be the only thing you did in this conference, you didn't waste your time. If you need to rededicate yourself, still join us forward. I'll give you the count of 3. You will place the hand, 2 hands on your head when I say 3 and scream, help! And pray in the Spirit for 1 minute and we are gone. And by this time tomorrow, you will be here testifying of help from above. Father, let your help be released upon your children. Let your help be released upon your children. Let your help be released upon your children. Receive it today. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Help!
Shape, le palaco.
Precious name. Diverse divine encounters overnight.
Help
from above overnight.
Revelation,
insight overnight. That is your portion. Another David is imagined out of here, and the world shall hear about you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause his face to shine on you. Just one moment. Counselors, you can begin to go in the building in front now, so the front can be free. If you have your redemption of pledge, you can do that. And those who are first timers and newcomers can also join us. Quickly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. In Jesus' name. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. In this season, my destiny is being recovered now. In this season, my destiny is recovered. God bless you. Give him a shout of victory.